Did you know that heart disease is the number one killer of women and is more deadly than all forms of cancer combined? The more a woman knows about heart disease, the better her chances of beating it. We're chatting today with Dr. Donna Zwas on this episode of Hadassah On Call.
This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine. In each episode, we go behind the headlines with the Hadassah Medical Organization and look at the work changing what's possible, helping you understand the medical breakthroughs impacting our lives. From neurological malfunction to sexual dysfunction, from striving for peace through medicine to operating room robots, this is Hadassah On Call. Here's Melanie Cole.
Lately, there's been progress in preventing and treating heart disease, but women are still more affected by this disease than men. My guest today is Dr. Donna Zwas. She's a cardiologist and the director of the Linda Joy Pollan Cardiovascular Wellness Center for Women in the Division of Cardiology at the Hadassah University Medical Center of the Hadassah Medical Organization in Jerusalem, Israel. Welcome to the show, Dr. Zwas. So tell us, how prevalent is cardiovascular disease in women, and are you seeing a difference in women in Israel and in the U.S. as far as incidence and even awareness?
We are seeing increased awareness in women very, very slowly, and we are seeing a decrease in mortality from heart disease, both in the United States and in Israel.
So the studies have always been focused on men for years. Do you see this changing, and what do you think prompted the change?
I am not convinced that it's changing. One of our big challenges in recruiting women into these studies is the fact that they tend to be somewhat older when they have heart disease and their caregiver status. Meaning if the husband wants to participate in the study, the wife tags along. But if the wife wants to participate in the study, there's a lot of resistance. Or the patient is the grandmother caring for the grandchildren, or she has other caregiver demands, which adversely affect her ability to participate in research.
Well, and I can see why it would. Women were the caregivers of society, and they say put your own mask on before you put the mask of your loved ones on. But women don't always do that, do they? We sort of brush off symptoms, or we're too busy to deal with things within our own bodies.
That's really the crucial part of the awareness campaign. Because when a man has chest pain or discomfort in his chest or shortness of breath, immediately everyone thinks, oh my God, this could be a heart attack, and they immediately call for help. When a woman feels these symptoms, a thousand things come up in her head, but the last one on the list that it could be her heart. She thinks, I lifted something, I did too much, I ate something, and it just doesn't even occur to her that this really could be a heart attack. And then even if it occurs to her that it could be a heart attack, even then she says, well, maybe if I go to the hospital, they'll think I'm hysterical, I don't want to bother people, I don't want my relative to have to take me anywhere, I don't want to be a burden to anyone. And even if she does think it's a heart attack, she doesn't call for help. So the key in the awareness campaign is understanding what are the triggers that will actually help a woman call for help. One of the things that we've been using is a survey that we did, patterned on a survey that they did in the United States. They asked women, what would you do if the person next to you had the signs and symptoms of a heart attack? And between 75 to 80% of them said they would call for help. And then they asked, well, what would you do if you had signs of a heart attack? And only 50% of them said they would call for help. So one of the focal points of the campaign that we're organizing is if you call for someone else, call for yourself. We really want to empower women to make the decision to call for help.
That's really a great idea. So tell us about your work for heart disease besides this awareness campaign and how it can be a model for other countries. What can we learn from your studies?
Well, we've developed a very comprehensive center where we work on addressing the individual, the community, and the digital world. So we have a clinic, a multidisciplinary clinic that that focuses on women who either have heart disease or three or more risk factors for heart disease. And we work with them to develop a plan that works for them to make the changes that they need to make to prevent heart disease. Very often a woman goes to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, go lose weight, go do more exercise. It's very hard to translate that into the stressful reality of day-to-day life. So we work with the woman, we work with her to overcome her own emotional barriers to making change, and we work with her to create specific doable goals that she can really do, and we thereby build her health self-efficacy, her ability to know that she can really take care of herself, and we are seeing real change. We're also working on the community level because people just don't like going to the hospital and they don't like to be medicalized. So we're going out to the community and working with all sorts of different infrastructures within the community to build intervention programs that improve nutrition, physical activity, and stress reduction. So we work in partnership with the City of Jerusalem and women's support groups. We work at schools. We work in community centers. We work in the Arab community, the ultra-Orthodox community, the general community. And we're building programs in the community where women get together and support each other to make the kind of changes that will make our communities healthier communities. In the digital world, and that's with using digital media to get really to everyone in this country, Arab, Jew. It's a little harder to get to our ultra-Orthodox because they don't admit to using the media. But we're trying to use specific campaigns to really work on the awareness of heart disease and exactly what we were talking about before, when and how to make the call.
And tell us about your work in underserved populations in Israel.
Well, I have to say it has been a tremendous educational experience for me to really understand the social challenges that different populations in Israel face. In order to reach the women in the Arab community, we have been going into schools because it's socially unacceptable for a woman to leave her house to do something for herself. So if she's doing something that's related to the education of her children, that's okay. So we go into the schools, we create programs for the kids, and then we include the mothers, and then we train them in nutrition, the importance of physical activity, and then we can really reach out to them once we've gotten them in. So the other challenge that we've faced in the Arab community, which we're working very hard on addressing, is secondhand smoke, because more than 50% of Arab men smoke, and it's socially very challenging for them for the women to get them to not smoke in the house. And that's something that we're working very hard on, developing a program and campaign, a comprehensive approach in order to get the houses smoke-free. In terms of the ultra-Orthodox community, the challenges are different. The challenges tend to come from just the extreme stress that these women are under in terms of the logistics of their lives. They have 7 kids, 10 kids, they're working, they're dealing with poverty, and it's almost impossible for these women to find the time to do anything for themselves. So we're really working with them on incorporating exercise into daily life. We've actually developed a very interesting program where they exercise in each other's houses. They don't want to go to health clubs. They don't want to go to the health plan because there are people outside the community there. So we've developed a program where they each pay a small amount of money to an exercise instructor and they meet in each other's living rooms. We have a coordinator who runs this program, and it's been amazingly successful at increasing the exercise in that community.
Are you seeing a decline in heart disease deaths in Israel? And if you are, do you think that diet is playing a factor? Tell us the role that diet plays within the heart disease community.
So there are two separate questions that you're asking. We are seeing a decrease in mortality after heart attacks, but I don't think it's related to diet. I think it's related to increased awareness in physicians. I think the doctors are now realizing that women have heart disease. The doctors are treating the women faster. The doctors are treating the women better. And that's why I think that our mortality is going down. In terms of diet, I'm concerned about the opposite. you know, for many years, the diet in Israel was the Mediterranean diet and is very healthy. But in Israel, as well as in America, we're suffering from the sheer overwhelming amount of high carbohydrate, high fat, low nutritional value food, which is just assaulting you from every venue. If you go into a local store, it's almost impossible to find something healthy to eat in there. If you go to a supermarket, out of the 10 rows, maybe 1.5 of them have healthy food. And I think that the increased economic status in Israel is adversely affecting the diet here.
So what do you want women to know about preventing cardiovascular disease? Give us a little kind of summary wrap-up about exercise, lifestyle factors, diet. People have heard a lot, Dr. Zuas, in the media, but you put it into such a nice, easy way for us to understand. So kind of summarize it all for us, what you tell people every day.
What I think people need to know in terms of preventing heart disease is that diet and exercise are the key. So in terms of exercise, you need to do 150 minutes a week of moderate exercise, approximately 30 minutes five times a day. And just doing that will protect you to a significant degree. There are studies that show that people who are fat and fit, meaning you're overweight but you're in shape, those people have a better prognosis than people who are skinny and out of shape. So it's not your weight that matters. It's your exercise level, and it's also what you eat. The new data about the Mediterranean diet and really the American DASH diet, the American version of the Mediterranean diet, they're both the same. If you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, fish, and low-fat dairy, and really decrease the high-fat, high animal fat parts of your diet, just eating those foods is protective. And the other stuff you eat is less important. So if you manage to get a very diverse diet, that in and of itself is protective.
What a great message. Tell us about the Linda Joy Polin Cardiovascular Wellness Center for Women at the Hadassah Medical Organization in Israel.
So the Polin Center was founded by Mrs. Irene Polin of Washington, D.C., in order to promote cardiovascular wellness. She and we have tried to adopt her global vision of wellness as our goal. So rather than trying to think about disease, we try to understand what it is that we can do to make women healthier, longer, and health, and keep their hearts healthy. So that's why we work on the individual level, the group level, the community level, and we try to get our message out to as many people as possible. And I just want to add that even exercising one time per week can make a significant difference in a woman's heart health and her prognosis. It can keep those heart attacks away. All women need to take the time to take care of themselves, to put in that extra bit so that we can be here to take care of those we love.
Thank you so much, Dr. Zuas, for being on with us today and for all the great work that you do. This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine, brought to you by Hadassah, the Women's Zionist Organization of America. The largest Jewish women's organization in America, Hadassah enhances the health of people worldwide through medical education, care, and research innovations at the Hadassah Medical Organization. For more information on the latest advances in medicine, please visit Hadassah.org. And to hear more episodes in this podcast series, please visit Hadassah.org/podcasts. That's Hadassah.org/podcasts. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.